NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yup, swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 421 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, as always joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
So, you know, today was a very frustrating afternoon if you are a fan of two professional sports teams in this area, like I was, or am. I don't know. Should I just drop one of them now and save myself the aggravation?
Yeah, or both.
It's about 7:30 here on Sunday night. The Yankees dropped the finale to the Cubs earlier today, 2-1. They did win the series, is their first series win in their last four series. So they did have an overall pretty good weekend in Chicago, but a very frustrating day out at Wrigley Field for the Yankees. But before we get into that, as you're listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, please subscribe to the NYYST podcast. Please leave us a five-star rating and review. And please tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And please subscribe to NYY Underground. NYY Underground, day number two at Yankee Stadium, as you'll be listening to this, will be just 5 days away on Saturday, September 14th, against the Red Sox, who have kind of taken themselves out of the playoff picture with a rough series against the Mets. And a little bit of a free-for-all before that. But, you know, I'm sure they'll come to Yankee Stadium and give the Yankees all that they want to handle this weekend. So something to look forward to. But we look forward to seeing you out there. If you haven't gotten your tickets already, please go to @NYYUnderground on Twitter. And the link will be pinned to the profile there. So, okay. So I sat there and I said to myself, okay, how are we going to navigate this day today? Giants 1 o'clock, Yankees 2:20. And the Giants made my decision very easy to just focus in on what the Yankees were doing today. And then I regretted being a sports fan at all at about 4:40-ish today.
Do you think, I know we want to have a quick show, but I just got to ask, do you think it's possible that this continues and Bill Belichick's the coach of the Giants next year?
Who knows at this point?
You think Daboll could get the boot that quick?
If they have it depends on how bad this season gets. I mean, obviously, it didn't look good today. Another blowout in a home opener. So fans were booing pretty much after the first series of the game today. So that's always what you want, right? But the real quick, we don't have to get into this deeply, but it's hard. I would say it's probably hard to fire a coach and GM when they didn't ever have their quarterback.
Yeah.
They were kind of forced into re-signing Daniel Jones. It's kind of hard to let him go after that season that he had.
Yeah.
What really, because, you know, you make the playoffs, you're not going to be in a position to draft anybody, but right. I don't know. We'll see, man. They're playing the Washington Commanders next week. It's the one team the Giants always seem to beat for some reason. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. But the Yankees had a chance to sweep the Cubbies today, and they didn't. They lost 2-1. Gerrit Cole gave up two unearned runs over six innings, and the offense pretty much didn't do anything. The offense was pretty silent all weekend. They scored six runs total despite winning the series here. And in Saturday's game, the Yankees scored two runs. They won 2-0. The two runs they scored both occurred without the benefit of a hit. The first run scored on an RBI ground out from Austin Wells, and then Aaron Judge scored when he stole third, and then it was an error on the catcher. So they didn't really do much offensively. They did rally for three runs in the third inning on Friday. Judge had an RBI single or double, double for Judge, and then Wells had a two-run single. Those were the runs they scored there. So the offense kind of sleeping here, but if you watch the game closely on Saturday, Yeah, the wind in Wrigley really played havoc with a couple of balls. Judge should have had a home run. Stanton should have had a home run. Should have, would have, could have. Don't want to make excuses. They did win, so you don't really care too much about it. But the pitching was absolutely outstanding for the Yankees in this series. Luis Gil comes off the IL, gives the Yankees six scoreless, one hit.
Possibly his best outing as a Yankee.
Struck out seven. Then you back that up with Saturday, Schmidt and Nestor combined for a four-hit shutout. And then today, Gerrit Cole really struggled in the first inning. A lot of that was due to Gleyber Torres booting a ball that would have gotten the Yankees out of the Yankees out of an inning there without allowing any runs. Cole did walk Mike Tauchman. I mean, you can't do that. Then Isak Paredes dunks one in front of Judge. Those were the two runs the Cubs scored. And then the Yankees had a minimal opportunities against Jameson Taillon. Couldn't get anything done past a run there in the second inning there.
Zero earned runs all series they gave up.
I mean, the pitching was outstanding. I mean, now the question becomes here, what do the Yankees do going forward? They don't want to go to a six-man, but it doesn't seem like anybody's getting bumped here because Nestor's going to be reinserted during the Red Sox series. You had three guys in Nestor, Schmidt, and Heel that had to make a case to stay in the rotation, and they all did. They all went out there and pitched their asses off and told Aaron Boone that they should remain in the rotation. So, I mean, it's going to be a hard decision for the Yankees moving forward here.
I'll tell you, I don't want to be too harsh on him, but I'll tell you. I mean, Nestor's comments would make it pretty easy for me if I ran the team. And people want to make excuses for him. I thought what he said was pathetic. Everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm glad he's angry. Even Susan today, like, when did Susan become such a mouthpiece for this fucking organization, man? It was disgusting. I'm sick of this soft world we live in. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't know. But if I'm the owner of this team and I see, or even the manager, and I see the comments he made, dude, you sent Brian Hoke tweeted what Nestor said. I thought it was a parody account. And people are like, oh, I'm glad. You want to know why you're glad? Because you're a moron. Because you don't know how to decipher good anger or good balls and good things to say versus what you're not supposed to say. You want to know why? Because there's no line anymore with all you people. What he said was pathetic. He would be out of my rotation immediately.
Well, let's read the quote verbatim here. This is Nestor Cortez after the game on Saturday where he really pitched well. He said, obviously, I was upset. I feel like amongst all the starters, I've been the workhorse. Once Cole went down, they picked me to be the opening day starter, not necessarily the number one, but the opening day starter. I had to switch my routine there, and now they do this.
Poor you.
I'm never going to back down from a challenge. I'm never going to leave my teammates out to dry. You're always going to get my best effort, no matter if I'm happy or not. That's what I did today. I just came out there and proved that I can be put in any situation from here on out. If that's what my role is, then I'll accept it. Now, there's a lot to unpack there. What I really didn't care for is he could have said everything that he said, and I wouldn't really have a problem with it, except for when he says, I feel like amongst all the starters.
Exactly.
Why do you have to bring your teammates into this?
Right when I read that part, I was like, nah, this is a parody. This is a parody account. This isn't a real quote.
That's what annoyed me about the quote more than anything, is I hate when you bring your teammates into this. You have a beef with the organization, how they treated you. That's fine. Okay.
Probably rightfully so.
Well, I don't know. Somebody had to get bumped this turn.
Yeah.
Who would you, and the two logical candidates are going to be him and Marcus Stroman. And if I was him, I know he doesn't want to get bumped from the rotation, but you know, you would have to look at it like this. They have faith in me to perform another role here. You know, you take Marcus Stroman out of the rotation. It's basically a dead roster spot.
You know, A beautiful follow-up question would have been, since he wanted to throw his teammates under the bus, a beautiful follow-up question would have been, you mentioned you were the workhorse out there once Cole went down.
Which he has been, to his credit.
So who would you have removed from the rotation then?
Oh, you can't ask that question.
Oh, why not?
Oh, because you can't, bro. You can't.
Why not? He's got enough balls to throw his teammates under the bus, right?
Can't hurt more feelings in the clubhouse.
Right, right. Because you got such big balls, you can throw your teammates under the bus. And then if you ask that question, what? You wouldn't be able to answer it, right? Because we all know who you're talking about. You just said it yourself. We're not dumb. The only two logical people were him or Stroman. So make him say it. Make him say it. And I'll tell you what, that part pissed me off more than anything. When I read that part, I was like, he could have said everything here, just like you just said. Could have said everything here and left that out and fine. But there was another part too. And it was such a typical Nestor quote when he just goes, first they did this to me, now they're doing this to me. Fuck you. Take that part out too, and then maybe we can have a discussion.
I was upset. I feel like I just came out there. I can be put. How many times did he say I in that quote there?
And you can be as upset and frustrated at this organization as you want. You want to talk, you want to throw managers under the bus at this point, your GM. Dude, I'll be the first person behind you here. I think this team is run like a clown show. But don't in the same breath say they're a joke because my other teammates deserved it more than I did. And look at how they're treating me and poor me. Anyone who champions that, I'm sorry, you're a moron.
Yeah, I didn't understand how Nestor got so much support for this comment on social media yesterday because of the initial paragraph here. If he cut that out and just said, I'm never going to back down from a challenge, I'm never going to leave my teammates out to dry, I'll give my best effort, whether I like it or not, blah, blah, blah. That's what I want. I want to hear that. I want to hear that.
You can even tell me you're annoyed and ticked off that you were the guy because you want to be out there starting. Like, I look, man, I'm a little annoyed. I'm pissed off. I want to be out there starting every fifth day. But you know what? I could be as annoyed and ticked as I want. My main goal is to do whatever this team needs me to do, and I'm going to go out there and do it no matter what. Boom.
Even
done.
If he goes, obviously I'm set. Even if he says, obviously I was upset, I've been a workhorse, and then left that sentence out of, I feel like amongst all the starters.
Right.
Why do you need to bring everybody else into this?
Because he needs pity. He's a martyr. He's a martyr.
That's what I didn't appreciate about it. I mean, it was something that didn't need to be said. I get it that you're frustrated. I get it that you're upset. And there are times this season where you have been the workhorse. And then there's times that you've really left the Yankees out to dry because you had some short outings or you've had some really bad outings. But overall, I mean, you are the fourth or fifth starter in this team. I think he's done an admirable job for that role.
Fantastic job.
You know, and a lot of people think that I hate Nestor. I don't hate Nestor. I hate when he opens his mouth because I think we all remember what he said around the All-Star break about, you know, and I'm not going to go back and look it up. We all know the quote. And then he went out there and he was supposed to back that up on the field. And
what was it? Can you just refresh my memory, though? It doesn't have to be verbatim. What did it entail?
Something about everybody hates the Yankees.
Oh, that was that quote? That was the All-Star break? Yeah, I know the quote. I know the exact quote. Everyone knows.
Oh,
that
here it
quote.
Is. He actually hasn't tweeted since then. Everyone talks down about the Yanks, but they want to be us. It's a privilege to wear pinstripes. Every year we are in contention. I'm blessed to be able to compete for a playoff spot and always be contenders at the end.
Wasn't that towards somebody specific? Wasn't someone shitting on the Yankees?
Who the hell knows, man? It's just another thing that didn't need to be said.
He just, oh, look, dude, if you're an established, like, dominant player and you want to talk shit, fine. You're Nestor Cortez. Like, again, I'm not trying to shit on Cortez here. He's done a really good job for this team. But when you're a guy who needs to, like, triple leg kick and pump fake and throw submarine every sixth pitch to get out, maybe don't go on social media and tweet shit like that. Maybe don't do an interview where you throw half your teammates under the bus. I mean, come on. It really ticked me off. Maybe I don't know. It sounds like I'm in the minority here.
I don't know. I think it's probably 50-50 if you really looked at it, but I'm surprised that as many people were supportive of him as they were. And this is Boone's comments before the game today. He says, I don't need everyone to be happy with everything. I want them in expecting the best. There comes a time when you've got to make difficult decisions, and then it's on all of us and the players to go out there to do your job and be a pro. That's what we saw with Nestor yesterday. Clearly he wants to be starting, and certainly there's a case for that. He's now going back into the rotation, but what we also saw, a guy come out and excel in a low-scoring game and finish off a great day for us. And that's the key thing that Boone said there. He bitched and complained knowing that this was one time through the rotation.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking that. He knew this. So what was the need to go out there and say what you said? So it's an ego thing. That makes it 10 times worse. You knew it wasn't a demotion. It's an ego thing for you then.
What if the roles were reversed and Boone let him start the game, but let him only throw four innings and he brought Schmidt in? Then would he have been okay with that?
Nope, probably not. He's the workhorse, dog. He gets to call the shots.
Look, man, it's unfortunate that he feels that way, because honestly, as a fan of this team, I think this team, and I've never been a Nestor in the bullpen guy, but if he's going to excel in this role, and I really think that he can, because I feel like he can be more aggressive in this role and not kind of hold anything back and attack hitters in a different way that he would as if he knew he had to go six or seven innings. But, you know, it's the whole me thing, man. And I'm just sick and tired of it. This team hasn't won enough to have marginal guys be me. This is the whole, I'm a second baseman. I play second base today. Well, guess what, second baseman? Your error basically cost the team today. The team scored one run. If you make that play, hey, you know what? And I'm not taking Gerrit Cole off the hook. You can't walk Mike Tauchman, bro. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You got to get Mike Tauchman out. But at the same time, two things can be true at once. He's not even thrown to Mike Tauchman there if you make a play that a major league second baseman should make. You know, you never, and again, people want to question Aaron Judge's leadership or whatever. Fine. You know, that's your prerogative. But Aaron Judge has as much right as anybody in Major League Baseball to be selfish about anything. You never hear it out of him. He plays out of position. And he didn't have a great series defensively. I feel like this is the first time since he's been playing center field where he was just like off. And it could have been.
I think it's been the last couple series, man.
And it could have been the wind, too. I think the wind was playing a lot of havoc, but he just hasn't seemed comfortable out there. And I think there was one time in the last series where he got caught against Texas, where he got caught sleeping out there, too.
Yeah. There was a couple questionable plays, and you're starting to. You know, be exposed out there in certain situations. Texas is tough out in center field. So, like, that could play into it. But I didn't really follow enough, probably. I watched the first two games. Today was a mess. I was in the car the whole time. And WFAN had the Giants on. So.
I mean, you know the NFL is always going to win that battle.
Yeah, it's great.
I want to see something here. This is going to come up. So the Yankees got excellent starting pitching, and they really cooled off a really hot Cubs team too, because the Cubs were working themselves back into playoff contention. The Yankees really shut them down, man. I mean, it was really, for a team that we really have a lot of question marks with their pitching really showed up in this series here. I mean, if you're going into the postseason right now, which the Yankees likely are, right? You figure the Yankees are going to the postseason here, and you got to pull one of these guys. You say you're going to go into the postseason with four. Those are your four. You're going to have four starters in the postseason. It's going to be Cole Rodon, fill the next two out.
Heel and Schmidt. Cole Rodon, Heel, Schmidt.
You feel confident with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Heel shut me right up last episode. I said how inconsistent he's been. Then he goes out there and he looks like one of the best pitchers in the league. I mean, he wasn't just good the other day. He was absolutely phenomenal. This guy, he reminded me of just how great he's going to be. Heel's a guy that, man, if you put it all together for him, we have a lot of years of a really dominant pitcher.
The question with Heal is, does he have enough gas in the tank?
Yeah, stop with the gas. Look,
how many times have we seen him peter out here? Has he recharged the batteries enough now to get?
I don't know if that's what it is, though. I don't. I don't see any signs of that.
You seem to be the only one that thinks he hasn't fatigued at all this year.
Dude, if he was fatiguing, the Yankees would shut him down immediately, especially right now. Especially right now. This would be their out. They'd be ecstatic. They'd throw parties. Hey, we don't have to gaslight the fans. We're just going to tell him he's out of gas. No problem. They would do it in a heartbeat. I think he was hurt. I think it's an adjustment, if you want to talk about that. I think it's an adjustment to pitch this many innings in a season. But I'm not going to just cater to the whole idea of guys running out of gas. I think that there's adjustments that need to be made. And I think with Heel, they did make them in the beginning. And maybe they made them again. But there's no reason at this point. It's September, what, 8th? There's no reason at this point that you can convince me this guy can't pitch through October. There's just no reason at this point.
The reason is that we've seen him hit these lulls here. Okay, that's the reason.
So be smart with him.
Yeah, and it is being smart with him, not letting him start the rest of the way.
He's the
odd man out.
I'll tell you what. If that is the smart thing to do, I want to see him in the bullpen soon. If the Yankees are sitting down at the next meeting of the band of idiots, and they're going, okay, what are we going to do with Heel? And the consensus is by the time October hits, he's got to be an integral part of our bullpen. I want to see that now. Because A, what better time? We have one too many pitchers. And B, we got to see if this guy can make that adjustment. And it's going to take more than just a couple times.
I don't know. The Yankees gave Heel the longest leash this weekend, too. So, I mean, that's something that they could be looking at. Maybe Schmidt's the odd man out just because he hasn't been built up enough. It's going to be interesting to see what the Yankees do. I don't think they're going to go six-man the rest of the way. But, you know, Nestor got reinserted. So, and we know that because Boone said it, that Schmidt is going to start. Nestor's going after Schmidt. He hasn't lined them up yet, he said, but Nestor's going to take the ball after Schmidt in the rotation. So I would assume that it would probably still run Heel, Schmidt, Nestor. And then I don't know, is that pushing Cole back or is it just because they don't have an off day this week?
I mean, maybe the Yankees are thinking it's beneficial for everyone to kind of get a push back.
I don't know. I think Cole's got to get some more innings. I would like to see him throw some more here.
What's his ERA? I meant to look it up. Now I'm too lazy. What's his ERA out at now? I feel like he still has just not pitched this year.
3.36.
That's pretty impressive. How many innings is he at?
75.
He's thrown that many already? How many does he end the season with?
He's probably got what? Where are we now?
He's probably got what? Two, three more starts?
No, I would say he's probably got. So he put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He could probably get at least three Yankees. I don't know if they depends on if they would need that last game. Maybe they would let him start on short rest. I doubt it, though. So I would say three.
So he doesn't have 100 innings in him.
No, he wouldn't.
If he gets a fourth start, he definitely could.
Wouldn't I mean, be. I thought he was really good today. He really did settle in after the first inning. So I think if you look at what he did in Texas, you look at what he did today, I think he's back to – he just still has not gotten into the seventh inning. So one thing that I would really, really love to see on him in his next start is just get deeper into the ballgame. But we threw 31 pitches in the first inning today.
To be fair, he doesn't cramp. He's easily getting into the seventh.
Okay, but he
– Well, he was getting into the seventh.
Something did occur. I don't know if
right.
whatever reason is. He still hasn't done it.
Right. True. That was my first thought today was he still got to get over that hurdle.
But he was really good today, man. I mean, I don't really – the only mistake he made was walking – was A, having Gleyber Torres be a second baseman and then walking Mike Tauchman. So, I mean, that's – we've seen him make a lot bigger mistakes than that in the past. So these are all quotes from Brian Cashman here, because this is the other thing that came out of the weekend. The Yankees pitching was excellent. The offense is still not there. Judge has not hit a home run in 12 games now. So I think the conversation of him breaking the record ends now. I mean, it's going to be really tough for him now to get to 63. He's got to hit 12 in what, 20 games here?
Yeah, I mean, he just completely fell off the face of the earth.
So, I don't know, man. Maybe we'll let him have – he had a bad April, let him have a bad September, and that, you know.
Yeah, maybe that kicks him right back in, babe.
Kicks him right back into October here, you know.
Yeah.
But that's going to be interesting this week with Bobby Witt coming into Yankee Stadium. You're going to have the national media really trying to sell you that Bobby Witt is the MVP, and especially if he has a big series and Judge continues to struggle here, that really might steal the MVP from Judge.
Yeah, okay.
You don't think so?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not saying in my mind it would. I'm saying that it could.
No.
All right.
There's nothing anyone can do at this point to even come close to convincing me that Aaron Judge isn't the MVP.
Okay, what if he hits four home runs this month? He finishes with 55 when he had 51.
Who cares? 50. Look, listen to the number coming out of your mouth.
I understand that, but they're going to say, well, in September.
Oh, come on.
And the Yankees are struggling to stay afloat here above the Orioles.
Just admit it. You think Bobby Witt's a better player.
Did I say that? Have I ever come on here and said that?
Sounds like it.
I'm just telling you what the national media is going to try to convince you of.
Nah. Guess what, pal? I've had years of practice now of combating gaslighting between the media, the Yankees. I'm a pro now.
Okay.
Okay? Can't convince me.
Just telling you, if Judge hits 172 against the Royals and Bobby Witt's hit 400, don't be stunned in November when Bobby Witt wins the MVP. I'm just saying.
I'll fucking break something. Yes.
If Aaron Judge, you know, puts his foot down here and, you know, he has a four home run 10 RBI series against the Royals, that might lock it back up for him. But that was another frustrating thing about today's game. The Orioles, the Rays did the Yankees a favor. They took two out of three from the Orioles. And then you hear Kay like, oh, we only worry about what's in our own backyard, but the Orioles lost to the... Yeah, we do only worry about what's in our own backyard. The Orioles struggling should frustrate Yankee fans even that much more that the Yankees continue to not take
What was his point?
That, you know, it's not just the Yankees.
Oh, come on.
But that's what I'm saying. It should frustrate you even more as a Yankee fan that the Orioles are struggling, that the Yankees have not been able to pull away from the Orioles.
We're in a very unique spot, where you have two teams that have a lot of expectation going into this season.
They have two very good teams that, for whatever reason, refuse to be great.
Yeah, they just can't put it together and put... If you really, I swear to God, like, we say there's so much parity throughout the league, there's also so much parity throughout fan bases right now and the narrative around each team. You can go on Orioles Twitter, and it's literally the same exact thing you're seeing on Yankee Twitter. Like, the frustration's there, man. Both teams should have pulled away with this, and neither team can't. It's just as frustrating either way.
You know, and we got to look at it like this, too, that we're in a one-year window because we have no clue what's going on with Juan Soto next year. But they're also, you know, they're younger. They have a lot more great young talent than the Yankees do. I mean, that's just a fact right now. But they're also looking at it that they're in a one-year window here too, because they made a big trade to get Corbin Burns, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. There's no guarantee he's coming back to the Orioles.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a win for 2024 move on their end.
And they didn't even have to do it. But here they are doing it.
That's why I'm, you know, Yankee fans are, and even K are like, oh, well, look at the, yeah, I am looking at the Orioles. That's what's frustrating me even more about the Yankees, is that there's a really good team in their division that can't get out of their own way, while the Yankees refuse to get out of their own way.
You know, there are certain situations in other years where you're looking at the scoreboard and you're going, oh, thank God, the Orioles lost. Right? Maybe you have a few game lead and your team slips up and you're just grateful the other team lost. But when you're sitting here trying to gain some traction, gain some ground, and you're losing games that you shouldn't be losing, and the other teams, it pisses me off more when the Orioles lose at that point. I'm more pissed that the Yankees lost after the Orioles lost.
And that's what I said the other day, is that, you know, everybody points to the record. Oh, look at the Yankees record. Look at the Yankees record. Why are we so mad? Because they're run like this, and they're still this good. Now imagine if they had a clue to what they're doing. Which segues right into this, because Brian Cashman, social media star now, okay, decided that he was going to show up to Wrigley Field and speak to the reporters before Friday's game. And, you know, the big question is, where's Jason Dominguez? So these are several quotes from Brian Cashman, so just bear with me here for a second. What is keeping the Yankees from calling up Jason Dominguez? Is there something that he needs to improve at AAA? Brian responds, Jason is doing everything he needs to do right now, and Verdugo is playing better baseball recently. The evaluations that we're having with our field staff and player development staff and front office staff is just what is going to give us the best chance to win. As of right now, we're playing with what we've got, but we're always in a position to change our minds at some point, too. He further goes on to say, he was asked, actually, why it wasn't Jason Dominguez promoted instead of Duke Ellis. Dominguez can obviously help the Yankees more. Brian, this is Brian Cashman speaking. If he comes, he's got to play. He's not going to come here and just sit. That's why the pinch runner is here currently. And whenever Birdie is coming, you start doing the chessboard and see when Birdie comes, whose spot is he going to take? So ultimately, if Dominguez comes, he's got to play. He further goes on to be asked, is Alex Verdugo's defense a determining factor? Brian responds, I think Jason is a good defender. I think Verdugo is a good defender. Verdugo is a left-handed bat. Jason's a switch hitter, but predominantly a left-handed bat. So ultimately, those are the things we're trying to work through. Right now, we're staying online. I mean, what am I supposed to take out of that other than you're a moron and don't know what the hell you're doing?
It's so impossible. It's so impossible to even talk about. It's impossible to talk about something that you can't. You know how you piss me off all the time because you'll explain why the Yankees are doing something.
I can't explain this.
This actually frustrates me more, I think.
Because there's no explanation for it.
Because I can't even have you tell me the logic behind what the Yankees are doing here.
There is no logic. Yeah, I mean, Alex Verdugo is terrible at baseball. He just is. He's a terrible baseball player. And I'll take a huge fat L for this one because I like to trade. I thought he'd be a really nice piece to this offense. I think he was for a while. I think he would have fit in seamlessly to what this team needed. A doubles machine, a contact hitter, a guy that doesn't strike out a lot. Sounds perfect, right? Considering what this team really needed, and a nice compliment to bring in Juan Soto, another left-handed bat. Then he's been objectively one of the worst players in baseball since June 14th.
No Lane.
I don't think that's, you know, that's anybody you know, projecting their opinion on it. I think it's factual. And then, you know, I told you, what was he hitting, like 333 or something over his last X number of games?
Mm.
And I'm looking like, oh, it was a bloop here. It was a dunker here. He found the hole here. Today was the first time he lined out to the outfield. It was like the first time that I seen him hit the ball with any authority in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was to right field, right?
It's just frustrating, man, because the Yankees, for whatever reason, are still stuck in this stubbornness of not wanting to improve the team. And John Birdie's going to be activated tomorrow. So there goes Duke Ellis, who, if that's your reasoning, now you saw how valuable he was today. He got himself into scoring position in the ninth inning after Rizzo walks and then Volpe strikes out. I mean, that's a whole nother story. We don't have enough time to get into
today. I was listening at this point. Would he have been safe at third? Or you couldn't tell? He was Ellis was going to steal third on that strike three.
He was?
Yeah, that's, I mean, unless Shackle's that bad at his job.
I don't know. Volpe missed on a slider. I don't recall.
He said the runner goes again.
Oh, they didn't show that on Yes. They just showed the strikeout, and then that was kind of it.
Yeah. I mean, you're stealing third there. I'm assuming someone's playing out of position. You know you're getting the bag. I don't know.
So then now you're going to bring up John Birdie, and then now, you know, that just creates another block for Dominguez because you've been having Birdie play left field on this rehab assignment. I mean, what do the Yankees have against Jason Dominguez here? Do they have something against being a better baseball team than they currently are?
I don't know, man. Let me tell you, if Birdie, because really, let's just talk logically here. There's no spot for Birdie.
No, because there's no spot for Oswaldo Cabrera right now, and Birdie is the same type of player.
Exactly. So what are we doing unless you're going to play him over Verdugo? And let me tell you something. They play Birdie over Verdugo instead of Dominguez. We got a whole world of problems because not only does that completely implode their narrative goes bye-bye because it was never Dominguez isn't good enough. It was Verdugo's too good and our chance to win.
I'm just sick and tired of recording every friggin' show and talking about why Jason Dominguez isn't here. I wish the Yankees would just fucking stop talking about it so we can stop talking about it. If you're not going to bring him up this year, don't mention his name anymore and let us just move on.
Yep.
Because every time I feel like, okay, it's done, it's over with, then somebody else says something about it, and then we have to talk about it again. And you're the GM of the Yankees. You're the shot caller. You're the big baller here, right, Brian? You in your heart of hearts think a guy that's had an OPS under in the mid-500s for the last 2 months, 3 months of the season gives you a better chance to win than Jason Dominguez. You believe that? If I gave you truth serum and hooked you up to a lie detector test, what would happen when I asked you that question? What would happen? This is a paternity test, like on the Maury show. Brian, you are the father of this lie right now because that's what it is. You're a liar. You don't really believe this. Why are you being so stubborn? And I said this, and again. I'm glad the Yankees have removed DJ LeMahieu from the equation, mostly. Still had to get a start against a lefty since Rizzo's been back, right? I'm glad they've done that. But, again, you want me to rationalize things that the Yankees do. Okay, DJ LeMahieu has 3 more years left on his contract. We need to try to get whatever we can out of him. When this season is done over, whether or not you're rolling down the Canyon of Heroes or stalking in another early postseason exit, Alex Verdugo is bye-bye at the end of the year. Why do you need to have loyalty to him? What has he done that he deserves that loyalty? I don't care that he's a nice guy. First of all, that whole nice guy bullshit is garbage to me. I don't care what your personality, as long as you're not committing crimes against women and children, I don't give a shit what you do or how you act towards people. Your job is to play baseball and play it at a high level. So as long as you're not committing crimes against human beings, and we all know what I'm alluding to, right? I don't care what you do. I don't care. You could be the biggest dickhead in the entire world. You could steal out of a kid's lemonade stand, okay? Steal the money out of his cup.
What if it was my kids or your kids?
I wouldn't care. Go hit two home runs tonight.
Nice.
Okay?
Dedication.
So all that means nothing to me. I don't care how much anybody on the team likes you when you have a 560 OPS since the middle of June. It's irrelevant.
Yep.
And you know, you're aggravating me too now. I don't mean to take a shot at you, but you're like, I like the guy. What do you like about him? You like all the ground balls he hits to the second baseman and the fact he can't be bothered to run hard? I mean, there's no redeeming qualities about him anymore. Great. He hit a home run and barked 4 months ago.
I guess when certain players are just likable players, it's tough for me to like sit here and be like, fuck. Like Aaron Hicks was such an unlikable person. It was so easy for me to be like, fuck this guy. I'm not saying that I like Verdugo. All I'm saying is it's tougher for me to hate him beyond how shitty he's been on the field. Whereas Hicks, I just completely couldn't stand looking at him.
Look, as I said before, unless you're committing crimes against women and children, everything that I base what I say about somebody on this show is completely based on their actions on a baseball field. Or
not about how their face looks when they make comments. Because that factors into it for me.
Well, I'm sure Nestor was, if I would have seen Nestor's face with that stupid mustache of his yesterday, making those comments would have irritated me even more. But, you know, and that's another thing. Oh, you hate Nestor. I don't hate Nestor Cortez, okay? I don't. I have no personal vendetta against Nestor Cortez. Anybody that's followed this show since 2017 knows players that I have actively championed to get the hell out of here who I have had vendettas against. Nestor Cortez is not one of them. Because that would make me a big, dumb moron that spent money that I actually had to go bust my ass and earn to go meet this guy last year, okay? What a dumbass I'd be. I don't hate him. I wish he would just shut up and pitch better.
Yeah, and stop with your gimmicks.
And the same thing with Brian Cashman. Brian, if you're not going to call up Jason Dominguez, just be quiet now, okay? Aaron Boone, the YPM, just stop mentioning him. That's it. Pretend like he doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair because we have to live with it anyway, right?
If we're not getting him, I don't want to, you know, it's like, here's what it is, you know, and I don't know if this is the right comparison, but maybe it is. It's like when a girl that you really love breaks up with you and you still have to see her around town, you know, right. And then you're reminded of what you don't have. But whereas if she moved to the other side of the country, she's not on your social media feed anymore. It's like she doesn't even exist. So you move on with your life.
Or you can take it a step further from like that McNair documentary where the guy grows up a huge McNair fan. And then his girlfriend, who becomes his ex, starts dating McNair while you're forced to still live together.
That was a weird situation.
Could you imagine that? If like you and your wife got divorced, but you had to like still live together for some reason, and then she was like getting hit on by Derek Jeter and texting, and well, Jeter was texting her?
I would be mad about that because Derek Jeter's retired, and so there's nothing he can do for me right now.
What about Judge then?
Oh yeah, go for it, dude.
Nice.
Are you gonna hit 400 in the postseason?
What if he could get you free World Series tickets?
I hit 400 in the postseason.
Okay. You're dedicated, dude. I love it.
She's not my wife anymore, right?
No.
Okay, so.
Okay.
I mean, you did make a deal about Clay Holmes the other day.
I did. And I was 100% serious about it.
And Clay Holmes came into the game today with the Yankees trailing 2-1 in the eighth inning and looked like a legitimate badass at the mound.
Dude, I couldn't watch today. I was... rest in peace to the person who died. There was a huge motorcycle accident on the Garden State Parkway today.
Terrible.
That extended my 35-minute trip to 3.5 hours. Amputee and a death, I believe. So.
Oh, Christ. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. So I had to listen to the game, and all I can tell you is it sounded like it was possibly his best outing of the entire season.
He looked really sharp today.
Like
he
it
did.
sounded like his slider was disgusting.
No, he was really good today. This is why I've been saying I would love Clay Holmes in a setup role.
So there's a little. So I noticed one thing, and I'll say this. I didn't know if this has started ever since Sterling's been gone, but Susan Waldman, and I just really started coming around to loving her over the last handful of years. I'm starting to hate her now because I realized what a mouthpiece she is. She might be the leader of the YPM. She might be. And so this should scare you. This, what I'm about to report, should scare you. Do you know what her first thing she said after Holmes did what he did?
What?
I can't tell you verbatim, but the gist of what she was trying to say is, see, he just had to work some things out. He'll be your closer. He's the guy for the job.
Well, didn't I tell you that last episode?
Yeah.
Well, what freaked me out on Saturday is that we saw him warming up. And it looked like he was going to come into the game in the ninth inning, but I think he was just coming in if Nestor got into trouble in the eighth there. But just real quick here, Luke Weaver got the first crack at being the closer. And then after the game, they asked him about it. He says, I don't remember. I was blacked out the whole time.
Yeah, that was great.
And it did look like he was running on pure adrenaline, man, because his fastball was up a tick and he had no idea where the hell he was throwing it. And yeah. He did get the benefit of some really awful calls there that really saved him. The umpire was awful in that ninth inning. So, I mean, you got to call it out when it goes against the Yankees. And you got to call it out when it goes for the Yankees. Because I think I texted you, is the umpire Luke Weaver's uncle? That's how egregious some of these calls were. But I don't know. We'll see what happened. The Yankees haven't been in that situation since. You know, they let Nestor clean up the ninth inning there. He was great. In that role, they didn't need a closer today. You know, after seeing Holmes today, does that mean the Yankees are going back to Holmes? Who knows? I would love to see Weaver not blacked out.
See, for me, and I'll just say this real quick. The Yankees look at that and they say, oh, now it's time to get it. For me, it's like, this is the best he's looked. He looks more comfortable, just like I said last episode. Let him find some comfort somewhere. Maybe this is where a healthy team would be like, maybe this is where he belongs. Don't touch him. Just like we said, don't touch Torres. Don't touch Volpe. Don't touch Holmes. Let him keep going here. Let it ride out.
You know what it's like? You don't collect things, but I do, right? And it's like you get this rare figure. Right, you get this rare action figure, right? And you know that you leave it in the box, it's worth $500, but it will look really cool next to your other ones. But if you open it, then it's basically worthless.
Right. Especially if you touch it.
And then it's just like you're looking at it.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it. Mm. And you're looking at it. And you're like, fuck it, I got to open it now. And that's what the Yankees do. They can't just leave things where they're supposed to be. They have to rip the box open and play with it, and then you ruin all value that it had.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, like I said, man, I would love to let this breathe a little bit and let Clay Holmes get some more opportunities in the setup role. And you know what? Let Weaver be the main guy for right now, man. Let's see. Let's Mr. Blackout here. Maybe he'll black out every ninth inning.
Yeah, fuck it, dude. I'll take it.
Shit, right? Mm-hmm.
Fuck it.
So the Yankees did win the series against the Cubbies here. I mean, you want to see this offense get going a little bit here. You want to see Judge and Soto kind of get back to what they were. Soto looked awful at the plate today. Again, I'm not going to make too much of it. You know, people are like, oh, these guys suck. Shut up. Please. Yeah.
I mean, Judge has been awful, but
he's also still Aaron Judge.
He's still the best player in the league.
The guy can, and now imagine he has a shitty April, a shitty September, and this is the numbers that he finishes it with: 320, 50 home runs, and 125
yeah,
RBIs.
Imagine.
And he took 2 months. Yeah.
Imagine.
He'll get hot again. I'm not worried about it.
He took 2 months vacation.
But the Kansas City Royals are coming into Yankee Stadium this week. All 7:05 starts. Monday night, Carlos Rodon is going to take on Brady Singer. Now I'm following Brady Singer on Instagram. I don't know why. Hit the wrong button there. But Brady Singer and Carlos Rodon to kick off the series on Monday. Tuesday, it's Seth Lugo against Marcus Stroman. And then to wrap up the series on 9/11, it's Cole Reagans against Luis Gil. And, you know, there's not a bad pitcher. When Marcus Stroman is I'm missing a syllable there. I know it. The worst pitcher out of the six pitchers going this series, then you know that there's some really good starting pitchers going in this series.
Yeah.
So if the Yankees bats wake up as they return home, Judge hopefully can get hot. Maybe we can start dreaming this last week as we approach towards the end of the season that maybe he can maybe give us a little history there against the Pirates late in the season. But we'll wait and see on that. Hopefully we won't have to wait and see on a 5-star rating review from our wonderful fans here as you're listening on your favorite podcast platform. Now that the show is just about over, please like us, but on where can they like us? We're not on YouTube tonight, but you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform and follow us on Twitter at NYYST_podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review on this podcast platform. Tell everybody you know that we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey and make sure you're following NYY Underground at NYY Underground on Twitter to get your tickets for NYYU Day this Saturday, September 14th against the Red Sox. We'll be in sections 106 and 107. We're looking forward to having a great time. But we'll be back here after the Yankees conclude their series against the Royals. It'll be a late night recording on 9/11 after the series wraps up. So you'll hear that Thursday morning as right before the Yankees take on the Boston Red Sox. So we want to thank everybody. Want to say hello? Come here. Come here. She's being shy now. I wanted my daughter to make her NYYST debut, but she didn't want to.
She should do a full show.
She could. Okay.
Okay.
So we want to thank everybody for their continued support of the NYYST podcast. We want to thank everybody for listening to episode 421. Chris, say goodbye.